Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Time of Being Properly Educated.
Sunday, I started on a message entitled, The Importance of History, The Importance of Education, and The Importance of Black History. All right, today is going to be part two, but I'm going to really sort of camp out on we will never forget. Somebody say that with me, we will never forget. Come on, somebody say that a little bit louder with me, we will never forget. All right, and again, just a conversation, and I pray that you hear, and then I pray you be, amen, informed in a way that it can lift you up into another place. We will never forget. As I pray and as I speak today, and as you're reminded of the message from last week, I pray that you hear the passion that I have for history, the passion that I have for history of our people, and the desire for forward progression from prophetic people that have been designed to make history. All right, as a prophetic people, when we put together education, when we put together history, when we put together black history, the resolve that we ought to come to is that we're going to make history. Somebody said that to me real loud and clear. We about to make history. We have come to a day, and again, I wish everybody would be here to hear what it is we're going to say, because we're so often missing, getting pieces that we still wander lost. Amen. Going nowhere, doing nothing, all right? But I can't help that now. I got to keep going where I'm going. We have come to a day in which we lack understanding, all right? Proverbs chapter number 4, it tells us, in all of our getting, get an understanding. We've come to a day in which we lack understanding, amen? We've also come to a day that ignorance is being used to destroy us. We've come to a day that we lack understanding, and we ought to get an understanding, but we also come to a day in which ignorance is being used to destroy us. Y'all stay with me, because your boy really has something that he want to say today, all right? Ignorance is being used to destroy us, but it's also being used to destroy our children. And it's also being used to destroy our community. Somebody say with me, ignorance is a bad boy. All right, ignorance is being used to destroy us. Ignorance is being used to destroy our children. And ignorance is being used to destroy our communities. Ignorance is so powerful. In Hosea 4 and 6, God says, ignorance is now destroying my people. And now, because you've rejected the knowledge that I gave you to overcome the ignorance, listen what he says next in Hosea 4 and 6. He said, because you rejected the knowledge that I gave you to overcome ignorance, listen what he says now. Now I will forget your children. Ignorance should not be able to rule in our lives and in our homes and in our communities. The only way that ignorance rules is because we reject that the knowledge that God gives freely. The only way, and again, I'm not really trying to pump you up and prime you and excite you. I'm trying to inform you today, because ignorance is destroying our homes. Ignorance is destroying our lives, and ignorance is destroying our communities. And the only way it destroys is we reject what God's trying to tell us. A prophetic people made up of visionaries and seers and watchmen and intercessors and psalmists and minstrels and teachers of truth and spiritually full parents and radical singles that care about the things that please the Lord must now rise up and declare, not on my watch. going somewhere, so I hope y'all stay with me this morning. All right? Ignorance is destroying. I told you that. And we're in a day that so much understanding is lacking. All right? But a prophetic people, and this is why prophetic people are so important, because a prophetic people are supposed to be made up of visionaries and of seers and of watchmen and of intercessors and psalmists and minstrels and teachers of truth and, listen what I'm saying, spiritually full parents and radical singles that care about the things that please the Lord. They are supposed to be the counter of what's going on in culture. But because of ignorance and because of lack of understanding, y'all please hear me, most of the church is going on as business as normal. Give me one more church service to give me what I need. And if you don't give me what I need, I'm on to the next church that will. Okay, y'all didn't say nothing, but I'm going to preach anyway. A prophetic people made up of visionaries and seers and watchmen and intercessors and psalmists and teachers of truth and spiritually full parents and radical singles. Let me start right there. What I just said, it makes room for everybody. Everybody has something that they're supposed to be doing. That's why he brought us together. None of us are supposed to be on the sideline just commentating. That's football and basketball and baseball. That's not the body of Christ. Everybody is supposed to be finding their place. Am I a teacher of truth? Am I a psalmist? Am I a spokesman? Am I a leader? Am I a prophet? Am I a what? We're supposed to be something. And the earlier that we start getting this into our children, the less they're going to wander aimless, ending up in the system and the system dictating what they shall become. I believe minstrels and teachers of truth and spiritual full parents and radical singles that care about the things of the Lord must now rise up. And we got to say it real loud. This stuff ain't going to happen on our watch. I believe that we ought to be able to declare and we ought to be able to decree that a people will rise, listen, which have the ability to speak to the issues of this day. When we come to church and when we are around the barbershop and we are going to work, one of the things that we ought to be able to do coming out of this is speak to the issues of the day. If our gathering together is not empowering us to speak, then we might be sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And we might be just some fuss makers and not able to speak to the issues of the day. I believe a people should rise that have the ability to speak to the issues of the day. Listen, when I'm going to go deeper, a people that have psalms and spiritual songs birthed in the midst that can turn the tides of evil. I believe what we sing here ought to work out there. I believe a movement should rise that gain momentum that turns us away from the me, myself, and I, and towards the good of the entire family of God. Just said a mouthful. I believe a movement should arise that turn us away, and theologians and philosophers alike are agreeing that America's modern day country, even Western Christendom, are now up under the me, myself, and I movement. Y'all better hear what I'm saying, because now the major theologians and the major philosophers and the major thinkers are just saying that even Western Christianity is teaching us to be me, myself, and I. And we got to go back to biblical Christianity. Come on, tell your neighbor there is a difference. A movement, I believe, will arise, and I'm declaring and decreeing that we're going to move us away from the me, myself, and I, and we're going to move what is good for the entire family of God. It's not enough for me to just get good for me and my family. I want to get what's good for me and my family, and what's good for Sandra, and what's good for Naomi, and what's good for Diane, and what's going for this young lady. I want to get what's good for the entire family of God. But we cannot birth that as long as we're up under the me, myself, and my. I got mine, now get yours. Some have asked, and this is why I'm slowing down and I'm talking like this. Some have asked, why are you teaching about Black history, and why? And I know some really don't want to hear it. Why are you teaching about the political system, and why? Well, I'm gonna give you some reasons why for a few moments. Have you watched the recent news? Are you watching what's being propagated through mass media and social media? I'm answering your question, and I know you're really not supposed to answer a question with a question, but I'm going to violate that today. Somebody's asking me, why are you teaching like this, and why are you preaching, and why is Black history and theology with a Black theology in there and the state of the Black man, why is that important? Aren't we all just a family of God? Well, I'm going to ask you the question again. Have you watched the recent news? Are you noticing what's being propagated through mass media and social media and the likes on it? Our children are getting bombarded with stuff 24 hours a day, and you want me to preach one more sermon about you about to move into your season. Have you watched? Come on, ask your neighbor, have you watched the news recently? If you watch the news, you know why I'm preaching like I'm preaching right now. Let's go a little bit deeper. Why am I preaching like this? Have you visited a school in the county or the city recently? I need y'all to kind of talk back to me. If you haven't visited a school recently, I nudge you to go visit. And you will come back and say, that's why Pastor Lawrence is talking like that. I'm in one of the Baltimore City schools every Monday morning and every Friday morning. Because what's going on in the city? I can't fix all of them, but I can fix one of them. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. Have you been to, come on, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, have you been to a school recently? If you have not been to a school recently, you have no idea why I'm talking like I'm talking. If you haven't visited a recent school lately, have you had a conversation allowing them room to speak with a person under 18 recently? If you talk to the right one, it'll scare you to death. Okay, y'all ain't talking back to me. If you talk to the right 18-year-old and under, it'll scare you out your wits. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Have you observed the rise of a new Jim Crow? And I'm sort of kind of indicting you if you don't know what that is. Because we think that all of that stuff went away, and all they did is repackaged it and changed the code words for it. Have you taken notice of the disparity of what's going on? Okay, let me say it again. Have you taken notice to the disparity of who's going to prison and why others are being pardoned after being sentenced to prison? Are y'all still here? They doing this stuff right in our face, and the church ain't got nothing to say, and that's problematic to me. Some people are going to prison for a little small thing of weed, and they getting 20 years. Some folks are setting up overthrow of governments, and when they go to prison, they getting pardoned after 4 months. And we ain't saying nothing. Have you observed the rise of the new Jim Crow? Have you heard who's being pardoned and who's being sent? Let's go a little bit deeper. Have you noticed the recent rise of divorce in our families? To include Christians getting divorced? Y'all ain't saying nothing. I was amazed last night because I was at an event for one of my wife's girlfriends, and some of the friends started talking. And I sat there in amazement because the person sitting in front of us, they had been married around 18 years. That's a miracle in 2020. The person on my right, they'd been married 28 years. Kim and I are talking about we've been married 22 years. I'm sitting up in that room like, And they say marriage don't work in 2020? I was amazed because we're now, y'all better listen to me, we're now raising a generation that they don't even think marriage is worth their time. Why am I preaching like I'm preaching? Have you observed the divorce rate, even among Christians? Have you observed the intentional spirit that's just trying to destroy the concept of family? Have you observed the spirit that's just trying to divide us all? This spirit knows that any house, any nation, any people, any community, any family divided against itself cannot stand. And you wonder, why am I preaching about what I'm preaching? In Matthew 24, he said, and Jesus said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. I'm going now. In Matthew 24, he says, now take heed that no man deceive you. He went a little further and he said, now you're going to hear of wars and you're going to hear rumors of war. He said, but be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Listen what he says next. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. But all these are only the beginning of sorrows. When we see nation and wars and all of these things and pestilence, we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as ministers, as psalmists, as intercessors, as watchmen, we've got to be able to rise up and say something. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? He says in Matthew 24 and 10, and many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And that's very important. He says, and many shall be offended and many shall betray one another and many shall hate one another. Listen to what I'm going to say next. Racism, systematic racism, and the exaltation of one people over another people because of ethnicity are all forms of hatred and betrayal, and it is offensive in the sight of God and in my opinion. I need to say that again. I'm almost where I'm trying to go. Racism, systematic racism, and there is a difference, racism and systematic racism and the exaltation of one people over another because of ethnicity are all forms of hatred and betrayal, and it is offensive in God's sight, and it is wrong in my opinion, regardless of who chooses to participate. Dr. Martin Luther King told us black racism is as dangerous as white racism. This moment now must now become about never forgetting. This moment must now become about never forgetting. This moment must now become about never forgetting. We look at history because it tells us where we have been. Why are you talking about history and black history and the state of the black man? I'm talking about it because if we take a look at history, we can tell where we've already been. A correct understanding empowers us where we need to go. No understanding gives allowance to it might just happen again, because a history not studied is often repeated. And I don't know if we are paying attention with what has happened since 2016. We've nearly gone back to the 40s. And if we would just get a little bit informed, a little bit empowered, a little bit spirit-led, we can make sure that this stuff don't never happen again. Are y'all still here? Come on, somebody say to me real loudly, I'll never forget. Seeing history through the lenses of proper biblical guidance empowers the seer to live the God kind of life filtering out the lies, filtering out the whitewashing, and filtering out the deception sent by the original deceiver. Let me say that one more time, and then I'll give you my points of application. Seeing history through the lenses of proper biblical guidance empowers the seer to live the God kind of life, filtering out lies. Because hear me, most say history is told by the conqueror. All right? And that is important. But when we understand hermeneutic interpretation of the scriptures brings us into true history. Y'all got to get this. And it filters out the lies. It filters out the whitewashing. And it removes the deception of the original deceiver. And it makes us be able to stand, and I'm almost there, and look at our history and declare, I'm proud to be a Black American. I'm proud to be a person of color. I know I'm not less than any other created being because I have a proper view of my history. And I'm saying loudly in this season, I'm never going to forget my history. Three things and I'll be done. In Exodus chapter number 13, verse 5 through 11, if you don't mind, Elder Natabu, would you read it? And I'm going to give us point number one. Exodus 13, 5 through 11. I told you I was going to do this in verse today. I'm going to read my scripture last instead of at the beginning. Exodus 13, 5 through 11.
Exodus 13, 5 through 11. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you.
Point number one, understanding we shall never forget. Number one, if we're going to operate history being a benefactor and Black history being empowering and understand the state of where we are as a community believer, number one, we must agree to be set apart by God. We must agree to being set apart by God. I don't know why we fight it so hard of being set apart. Truth of the matter, and we start this real early in life with trying to identify with certain peer groups, we want to be included in the group. Are y'all still here? We will bend over backwards to be included in the group. Failing to understand God's trying to set us apart from the group. Are y'all still here? Do me a favor. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, oh, neighbor, God's trying to set you apart from the group. Are you listening, Malachi? God's trying to set you apart from the group. We trying to be included in the group, and God's trying to set us apart. And he does this text in Exodus chapter number 1 through chapter number 13, he's trying to tell them, you're not like them. When they finally get out, they're going to say, we think we so like them, take us back to them. And God's trying to get us to understand you have to be okay being set apart. Come on, do me a favor. Tell somebody, stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. I don't care how much you try to cuss, you can't cuss like them. I don't care how much you try to act, you can't act like them. I don't care how much you go to their event. Somebody going to look at you like, what are you doing here? I know I'm not the only one since I've been saved, went back to the club, and it just was weird, a weird feeling. Y'all are so deep. Boy, I know y'all look at me when I talk like that. I'm not the only one that's been back to the club and had this weird feeling like, what in the world are they doing up in here? And finally, somebody look at us and say, you don't come often, do you? This ain't some kind of hangout, is it? Because the truth of the matter is, he's setting us apart. If we're going to understand history, if we're going to imply back history to in its proper place of empowering us, if we're going to understand the state of our and the condition of our people and do something about it, number one, we have to be okay being set apart. Do me a favor, put your hand on your chest, say, as of now and as of today, I'm okay being set apart. He said it in 1 Peter. He says, unto the believers, it is a precious stone. But unto them that are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head cornerstone and a stumbling and a rock and offense. Listen what he said. He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who called you out. We've been called out and set apart. He said, a people that were not a people have now become a people. If we would allow him to bring us out and set us apart, he'll show us the people that's coming out with us to be set apart with us. We're just not patient enough to wait to see who coming out with us. Because God we serve has always been about a family. So he ain't bringing you out by yourself to stand out there alone. You might have to stand out there momentarily, but he going to bring somebody else to be set apart with you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.